as we settle our hearts and minds and spirits in this morning to focus on the scripture readings that we will visit, let us turn ourselves to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, as we gather as your people this morning, we come to you in humility. We know that we are undeserving because of so many things that we do that are acts of omission and deliberate sins, Lord, because we are angry, we feel put upon, or we just don't want to be bothered. So help us, Lord, to turn to you today, listening to the words of Scripture as they are read, allowing your Spirit to give us the guidance that we need as individuals. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your word holds for us this Lord's day. And let us know that we too are your beloved. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus 24. Verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountains and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with the assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. At Mount Sinai, Moses experienced the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. Glory of the Lord. On the mountain. And the seventh day, God called out to Moses.
On the mountain, God gave Moses the stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments.
The epistle reading this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. At the transfiguration, God's voice was heard, declaring Jesus to be the beloved Son.
By the activity of the Holy Spirit, God's voice continues to be heard today through the word of Scripture.
David, I think you picked up on my notes.
You can wing.
I could a little bit.
I did that last time.
Let me make sure. Yeah. You do that again, you're preaching. We'll break that habit, won't we? I do appreciate your help reading those extra passages this morning, so I shouldn't give you too much of a hard time. So he read the Old Testament lesson and the epistle lesson this morning. This being Transfiguration Sunday, all the texts focused on some portion of this season that we are entering, as we will enter the Lenten season on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. So the gospel reading that I will focus on this morning is Matthew 17, 1 through 9. As we visit the mountaintop, being familiar with this reading, we know that Jesus' divinity is revealed to the disciples during the Transfiguration. Historically, this reading picks up just shortly before Jesus enters Jerusalem, which leads us into Holy Week and the crucifixion. And again, we'll begin that journey next week with the first Sunday in the Lenten season. So let me now offer the words of Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking to him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." When they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This history, the transfiguration of Christ, is recorded for us in the first 3 Gospels, Matthew that we just read, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. Reading from Matthew's Gospel, the scene unfolds in 3 phases, or acts, for any theater students among us. And I had a conversation already with Grace this morning about theater, so I know she's got a mindset going in that direction. I don't know about the rest of you. Verses 1 through 14 highlights verses 1 through 4 highlights the transfiguration, the actual transfiguration. Then in verse 5, we move into God's voice as God speaks. Then in the closing act, if you want to call it that, verses 6 through 9, the disciples respond. There's the seeing, there's hearing, and a response. So we do have some movement through these verses. Reference is also made in each of the gospel accounts to the brightness, which is why I pulled in the Exodus passage specifically this morning. So we have the account of brightness, the dazzling white, the shining like lightning. Something visually out of the ordinary. It was startling. It was attention-getting. This reference to the brightness follows along with other known encounters with God. Obviously, Moses and Mount Sinai. Heavenly beings wear white clothing in Daniel chapter 7 and Mark chapter 16. The righteous of the kingdom will shine like sun in Matthew 13. And if we want to jump over into Revelation, the wearing of white robes in Revelation 7. So this is not unique, this shining brightness, this pure white, this vision, this glowing vision is not unique to the Transfiguration. The uniqueness of the Transfiguration, we have the appearance of Moses and Elijah, two deceased Old Testament prophets, and they engage in conversation with Jesus. We then read of Peter, good old Peter, taking the initiative and trying to join the conversation. He informs Jesus that it is good for the disciples to be present, although we know he doesn't understand why, and he doesn't try to explain why. He then offers to build three shelters, again, without explanation. So putting this into some perspective, this piece, is Peter speaking out of shock, surprise, fear, uncertainty? I'm sure you could add your own word to this list. We could make a list of all those emotions when we're startled by something our mind can't comprehend. Peter's suggestion does not bear fruit, however, as for the second time in this particular gospel, previously at Jesus' baptism, we hear God's voice. God interrupts what's taking place. God speaks from the crowd and repeats the declaration from our Lord's baptism. God again announces Jesus' identity as God's own Son. But there's another phrase that is added at this point. Listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. In this passage, God's voice is not coming through as a digital recording. It's not encrypted. It's not in a language that we cannot understand. God's voice comes through in such a way as to be easily understood by Peter, James, and John. The same as it was with Moses, who had earlier heard and understood God's voice. So let's reflect on that aspect, that of hearing God. Looking at Peter, we know from Scripture, from the things that we read, that he's a man of action. I've got my notes up here, called him an extrovert to the nth degree. He's bold. His bold personality would make some of us very uncomfortable. I'm a situational introvert. That's what I've been called by people. So his bold personality would make some of us very uncomfortable. He starts talking and suggesting what needs to be done next. And maybe, as I've already mentioned, fear, anxiety, nervousness, or simply his nature, that we need to do something. I see and I need to do. If we have the nature of Peter, act or speak before we think, we need to stop. We need to stop talking. We need to start thinking. We do not need to do anything in the unique presence of God. We need to listen. Next, we have John. John does not appear, from what we read, to respond or say anything while on the mountain. Maybe like some of us, the otherworldly nature of the situation stunned him into silence. Although not yet fully understanding the personhood and the deity of Jesus, John did have some understanding of knowing him to be a great teacher, his rabbi, and his friend. He had an understanding that there was something special with this one called Jesus. John finds himself in the presence of not only his rabbi, but the two great prophets, Moses and Elijah. If we are the individuals, perhaps like John, who need to process everything before we speak, we may have multiple thoughts swirling around in our minds with all of this. John didn't panic. We do not need to panic. When we hear the voice of God, we do not need to say anything in the presence of God. Simply listen. Listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to James. As with John, James is not recorded as saying anything, or there's no response or side activity that he shuffled his feet or anything like that. He could have simply been filled with anxiety at what he was seeing and left speechless. We today, with our biblical history, are aware that James was a part of our Savior's inner circle of that three of the 12. We might have expected a little more of him. But when you are living through an experience, now keep in mind, they experienced this. We can look throughout the scripture, and this transfiguration stands out for everything, the layers that are there. When you are living through an experience, one as unimaginable as the transfiguration, it is sometimes hard to grasp our role in the scheme of things. Now, if we are putting ourselves, our little name tags on, and we are the likes of James or John, and I thought of this little childhood thing that we sometimes do. One of these things is not like the other. Maybe James and John, as they looked upon Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, had that thought, everyone belongs except us. One of these things is not like the other. We receive the invitation by accident. Included in the holy group chat by accident. We need to take that deep breath that we began worship with this morning. We need to take a breath, and we need to relax. We do not have to justify our existence in the presence of God. We need to simply listen. For us today, as we read of this mountaintop experience, the transfiguration of Christ ends the season that we refer to as Epiphany, which began January the 6th, and opens our doorway into the Lenten season. As we travel this Lenten journey with our Savior, the lectionary will offer readings from the gospel lessons, the epistles, the Psalms, and the prophets. Within those passages, there will be the predictions of what is to come. When we look at the scripture readings, we understand that those are ancient words from another time in history, a time in history we cannot, in our society, in this 21st century, we can't connect to that time. That's not our culture. Yet they are familiar words to us as God's people. And it is that familiarity that can sometimes be our problem. We hear, but we do not listen. There's a difference. We hear, but we do not listen. So as we begin our journey into this Lenten season, may God give us all ears to hear, and may the Holy Spirit that indwells us prompt us to listen. May the prompting of the Holy Spirit move us from the passivity of just simply hearing what God might be doing into actively receiving and listening to God's word. It is in the listening that we as God's people find the challenge, and you all are facing a challenge right now. You do not have your own pastor, you're doing pulpit supply. The call and the expectations of service. It is in the listening that God shares and we hear the struggles of God's people nationally and globally. It is in the listening. And I don't think any of us like this next couple of words. The active waiting. Put your hands in your lap and you wait to see what God is going to do. It is in the listening and sometimes in the active waiting while we listen, because we know God is doing something, that allows God's people to accept the challenge, the call, or the expectation to serve in ways that our carnal hearts and minds sometimes can't begin to understand. Or sometimes we simply rebel against what God is calling us to do. We're like Jonah, we want to go the other direction. What are you hearing from God today? Are you hearing God's voice as you would a creek in your home, the traffic outside the church? Are you hearing God's voice as you would when the furnace or the air conditioner kicks on? It's a familiar noise. You go on about your business. You go and walk on into the kitchen or outside or whatever you're doing that day. Just normal stuff. You hear it day in and day out. Or are you actively listening to see where God is leading? Whether it be Rock Lake Presbyterian Church, our nation, or the global community in this 21st century. We are a people of God, and we are called to listen to our Lord. What is God saying to us, to our churches, to our families, to our communities? We are hearing a lot of noise in our world today. We are hearing a lot of static, for lack of a better way to phrase it, that is interfering with our listening to God and how we put that next foot forward into being God's people. So I do remind you, we are commanded to seek the one that God said, listen to him. Let's pause for a moment of silent reflection. Amen.